Amen. We're going to the book of Micah for our text this evening, and the chapter 7. A well-known verse in the Word of God as well. The book of Micah and the chapter 7 and the verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. When some loved one is really ill, it is wonderful to see the nurse or the family friend lift up the weary head and straighten the pillow, all to ease the pain and to leave the patient more comfortable. It's a privilege to ease the burden of those that are ill. Most people, of course, are glad at the close of the day to rest their head on the pillow and drift off to sleep. And we're used today, of course, with nice soft pillows. Perhaps most of us do not remember anything other than a soft mattress and a soft pillow. Yet previous to the 1900s, the conditions that were abroad were so bad that it is hard for us to realize how people even existed. I remember reading a story of the Reverend John Ashworth, a man in England who tried to help the poor in those terrible times. And he gave the story of one man that had lost his job, and because of lack of business, and he had walked 30 miles to secure a new job. He walked back, and he brought his pregnant wife and children to the new area, only to find that no job was there, it no longer existed. And all the shelter that they could find was an old, musty, dirty basement. There was no fire, there was no food, there was no beds, there was no furniture. What hardship. But someone had told the Reverend John Ashworth, who came and organized a barrow of coal and some straw for a bed. And that night, the child was born in those appalling conditions. Not much of this world's goods. No pillows to rest their weary head on. And I hope that you appreciate your pillow tonight when you go to your bed and put your head upon the pillow for a good night's sleep. Thank God for all the blessings that we have in this day and age in which we live. But I want to give you tonight three pillows to lean on from God's precious word. And the first pillow that we want to think about tonight is the pillow of his pardon. The text that we have there asks the question, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And you know, that is a very important question. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And the answer is simply none. You see, all the gods of wood and brass and gold that men have worshipped and are worshipping today, all the gods of money and possessions and power that men have worshipped and are worshipping today, all the gods of the false religions of the world that men worship, they have one thing in common: they are dead. They cannot pardon the sinner. They cannot ease the guilty conscience. They cannot lift up the burdened soul or the burdened heart from the guilt of sin. You may worship a false god. You may honor a false god. You may pay money to a false god. You may do penance to a false God, and yet all your efforts will not bring pardon from your sin. Only the God of heaven, the triune God, is able to pardon your sin this evening. And you know, you remember Elijah when he was confronted by the prophets of Baal. And no matter how much they cried to Baal, no matter how much they jumped about the altar, cutting themselves with knives, Baal did not hear. And it was only the God of Elijah that answered by fire. And what a tremendous thing it is when our God answers our prayer and answers the sinner's prayer and comes and forgives their sin. In 1 Corinthians 6 and the verses 9 and 10, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I want to ask you tonight, do you realize that you're a sinner? And that nothing you can do can give you pardon of your sin. You see, that is the first step, as we have said, night by night, on your way to heaven, is a realization that you personally are a sinner before a thrice holy God. But thank God there is one who is ready. Ready to pardon you from sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. We have a tremendous Savior tonight. And that psalm that we read together, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What a tremendous thing to have your sins forgiven, pardon granted, your burden of sin rolled away forever. And you know, I want to ask you tonight in the meeting, do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that your sins have been washed away? Do you know that you have been forgiven and pardon has been granted? What a tremendous joy it is to be pardoned from the penalty of sin by the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who went to the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood. Thank God for the pillow of pardon. How does God pardon our sin? In 1 Peter 18 and 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That is why you can be pardoned tonight, because the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down from heaven into this sin-cursed world, went to the cross of Calvary, bore the punishment that you deserve for your sin upon the middle cross, and shed his precious blood. Without the shedding of blood, we said last night, there is no remission. But thank God Jesus shed his precious blood. God pardoneth our sins by the precious blood of Christ. And Jesus died that you can be forgiven. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. Is God not a wonderful, merciful, gracious God that's ready to pardon us from our sins? Have you personally rested your head on the pillow of his pardon. Maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight, and you're in under the sound of the gospel, and you're not saved. You have never had your sins pardoned. Maybe you're a religious person. Maybe you're an upright person. Maybe you've been baptized as a child. Maybe you have been received into the church. Maybe you even go and take communion, and you're still in your sin. You have never been born again into God's family. You have never come to the foot of the old rugged cross and received pardon for your sin. Well, I want to tell you tonight, if you die in that state, you will end up in the lake of fire. And you know, that is the tragedy today in this land of ours. And you know, we know in this land that we've been privileged to the gospel preached on every street corner. Every home has been visited with a tract for many, many years. We go out and there's posters on trees, the texts of Scripture. We have had the preaching of the gospel and missions like such as this. Way back, as long as I can remember, the Faith Mission had missions round our area for many, many years. The Brethren had missions. The Baptists had missions. The Free Presbyterians had missions. And people have been warned time and time again to flee from the wrath to come. And we have been tremendously privileged in this country to be told that we're a sinner, but that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for us upon the cross of Calvary. I want to ask you tonight, if you have not had your sins forgiven, will you not come tonight and put your head on the pillow of his pardon and receive that forgiveness? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? There is no other God that can pardon your sin. You cannot pardon your own sin. But you thank God you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have his pardon. But also we want to look tonight at the pillow of his peace. How can we have peace? How we crave peace in this day and age. Peace of mind, peace of conscience. And it's only when we are pardoned and forgiven and become a child of God that we can know peace with God. Romans 5 and the verse 1 tells us, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What gives us the lack of peace? It's our separation from God by our sin. But you know, thank God, when we are justified by faith, when we are saved by the grace of God, we have peace with God. What gives peace is the assurance of pardon, the assurance of forgiveness of sin. And when we are saved and born again into God's family, we have the pillow of his peace to rest upon. In John 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In the fold of the great shepherd, what a tremendous privilege we have, and what a tremendous peace we have. And Isaiah 43 of the verse 1, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And Hebrews 13 and 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What? Isn't it tremendous to have that assurance tonight? That we as sinners, condemned, by the judgment of God, can have our sins pardoned and have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That peace that we crave for. Many wrestle, of course, with salvation, and they'll say, am I saved or not? My dear friend, if you're saved by God's grace, rest on the pillow of his peace. Safe and secure in the knowledge of pardon and forgiveness of sins. In John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And you know, tonight, there are so many of God's children, and the devil tortures them, and they wonder if they're saved or not. And he takes away the peace that they should have. You see, our salvation does not depend on us. It depends upon what God has done for us when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior and our Lord. And we depend on God's promises. And if you're saved tonight, stop trying to have more faith. Depend upon what God's word teaches us. And that is what we depend upon. The old devil will torture, and many hundreds and hundreds of doors I've went over the years, and people have stood and they've said, well, you know, I got saved away back years ago, but I'm not sure. And I don't know. I hope I'm saved. And I would say to them, look, have you ever thanked God for saving you? And you know, it's amazing how many people profess to be saved and they have never thanked God for saving them. I want to ask you tonight, do you thank God every day for saving you? Something that he has done for you, forgiving your sins, bringing you into his family, giving you everlasting life, and preparing for your home in heaven. You know, when you waken in the morning, you should always say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. And you should always thank him day by day. And when we thank him, we can have that peace in our hearts day by day, depending on God's promises. In Isaiah 26 and the verse 3, then we have the peace of God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You see, when we're saved, we have peace and rest our head on the pillow of peace. We have the peace with God. But there's the peace of God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. And in Isaiah 43, we have those beautiful words, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle against thee. We have perfect peace of God in our hearts when we're saved by God's grace. Have you laid your head on the pillow of his pardon? Have you laid your head on the pillow of his peace? I trust that you have tonight. And I trust that if you're saved, that you're rejoicing in that peace that he gives to you when you're saved by God's grace. You know, there's so many of God's children today, and they are anything but a good testimony to the saving and grace of God. They're going about moaning and groaning and crying and,
getting downhearted and everything around them going wrong. And you know, that does go wrong, and it's going to go wrong. But you know, above it all, we have that assurance in our heart that we have been redeemed, we're a child of God, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd, we have God as our eternal Father, and He has promised to go with us. What a day when we meet Him face to face. But then, finally, we have the pillow of His presence. If we are in God's family, then we can experience the reality of the Lord's presence. And you know, when we read Luke 24, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were cast down, and as they talked of the events of the past days, Jesus crucified by Roman soldiers, buried in the tomb, they were sad, they were disappointed that Jesus was gone. And you know, as they walked away from Jerusalem with their back towards where Christ was crucified, Jesus drew near and He journeyed with them. And He preached to them the Word of God. And you know, yet at first they did not recognize Jesus. And verse 32 of Luke 24, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? What made their hearts burn within them? It was the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with them, and it was the teaching of the Scriptures as He taught them the Word of God. And you know, that is so important for those of us that are saved by God's grace, that we have that presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us every moment of every day. And how do we experience that? It's through the preaching of the Word of God. And that is why you go to church. That is why you go to listen to the Word of God being preached, because it gives you a real sense of the presence of the Lord in your heart. And that's why preachers have a tremendous responsibility when they get into the pulpit on a Sabbath day morning and the Sabbath day evening. They have the responsibility of preaching the Word of God as it is in the Scriptures. Now, of course, there's a lot of preaching today, and it's all man-based, and it's all what they think. And they will turn round and preach all the nonsense of the day. But my dear friend, you need to hear the Word of God preached. And when Christ went with His disciples on that road, He taught them the Scriptures. And the Scriptures and the presence of the Lord with them give them that joy and their heart that day. The saints of God, believers, have the tremendous joy of the presence of Jesus. Even though we cannot see Him with the eye, He is still dwelling in our hearts by faith. You know, whenever we lose an earthly loved one, they have gone to be with the Lord, we can remember them, and we can remember the good times that we had with them. And you know, whenever we are saved by God's grace, we haven't got the presence, the physical presence of the Lord Jesus, but we have Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. And what a tremendous thing it is. The disciples of Jesus were out on the Sea of Galilee. In John chapter 6, the storm was raging. Darkness had fallen. They saw a man walking on the sea, and fear gripped their hearts. And you know, it's oftentimes we as God's children fear.
unless you're one of these people that if the roof blew off the house and we thought the roof was going to go the other night with the thunder and lightning. There's men and there's women maybe too, but if the roof blew off the house, they would turn round and say to the wife, have you the coffee ready and will you get me my slippers? But you know, if you're normal, you have problems. And they will come. And we have to learn to cope with them. But how do we learn to cope with them? We learn to cope with them by simply by the word of the living God. And these disciples, when Jesus came to them, he spoke and he said, it is I, be not afraid. The storms of life are blowing. But thank God tonight, as a child of God, you can say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is I, be not afraid. He never leaves us. He's with us 24 hours every day, every moment of the day. If you're not saved, you cannot know the presence of the Lord Jesus as you journey through life. But I want to ask you tonight, will you not come if you're not saved? And lay your head on the pillow of his pardon. Come to the foot of the old rugged cross and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You have died for me upon the cross of Calvary. Come into my heart, cleanse away my sin, and make me a child of thine, and give to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Give me pardon from my sins, and thank God he'll do it. Why? Because he has promised, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And if he doesn't cast you out, what'll he do? He'll take you in. The pillow of his peace rests secure in salvation. Stop worrying about whether you can keep your salvation or whether you can't, because it's God keeps you. And he holds you in the center of his hands and he gives you eternal life. And he will help you to live the Christian life. And he will help you to bear the fruits of the Spirit as you journey through life. And you can have your head upon the pillow of his presence. And you can know the presence of the Lord day by day. And you know that is something beyond compare. To have the assurance that we're pardoned, to have the peace of God in our heart, and to have his presence with us each moment of every day. Maybe there's a backslider in the meeting tonight. The cares of this world have come in. You've lost the sense of the presence of the Lord. If you're saved, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose fellowship with God. And sin breaks that fellowship with God. But thank God, if you're a backslider, he's married to the backslider. And if you come and confess your sins, he will restore you and give you back the joy of your salvation in your heart day by day. We ask you as we come to the end of this meeting, if you're not saved tonight, why not come now? We can't save you, but we would persuade you as Paul was a persuader. We would like you to come and put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can be of any help to you, speak to Mr. McCammon or myself or some of the men, and we can pray with you and help you to come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the little booklet, A New Beginning. And if God has spoken to you, there'll be one sitting here at the front and you can have one to take home and to read. But oh, that we want to see men and women saved. We don't want to see one person that's in this hall tonight in a lost sinner's hell. The salvation of the Lord is able to save you. And we trust you'll come. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight.